I wanted to, first of all, thank all of you for coming on. The time I spent with the Lord last night as he was sharing many things with me left me with, well, the prophet Jeremiah cried out that there was fire in his bones, and that's a very real experience when the Lord is talking to a prophet, and it's, you know, it's urgent. It's urgent the prophet receive those words. We know that the disciples, some of the disciples, experience the same thing in walking with Jesus after the resurrection. So this isn't, what I experienced last night is not new, but it's, when it was all over, I'm trying to get my mind calmed down, thinking I need to call everyone and warn them that this is, that this message is true. And I just decided I would wait and share it with all of you guys tonight. And the minute I did that, I received peace. So this is a very important word from the Lord. And in some cases, things will happen because we don't pray. In other cases, they will happen if we do pray. So please, as you're writing what I have to say down, put alongside of it, need to pray. I'll give you instruction behind each issue so you'll know what to do. This is a terribly exciting time in the kingdom of God, and we're going to see some explosions from the right to the left. It isn't going to be a peaceful time, but it's going to be a highly productive time. As a Christian, you can walk in peace, walk in the grace and the peace of our Lord, just because the things around us aren't saying what we need them to say right now doesn't mean that he has ceased to be our peace. He is our peace, and he promises to bring us through everything in the palm of his hand. So in that respect, I can tell you as a person who has lived through incredible traumas and crises, and who has also had some of the most wonderful seasons in my life that I think anyone could ever have, I will say that when you go through suffering, Paul wrote to the Romans that suffering had a purpose, and the end of that purpose is that we would never be ashamed in the love of God. And so he's accomplishing a whole bunch of things as he takes us through difficult times so that we can bear the glory of the glorious times. So we never have to be discouraged or downtrodden. I know everyone gets discouraged from time to time, but we don't need to stay there. We don't need to allow ourselves to go into the place of hopelessness. We can stop that, and we need to stop it in the very beginning of it all. We may have questions. You can certainly ask God questions as long as you do it in a good spirit. He's not intimidated by that at all. And if it's a question you need answered now, he'll make sure you get that answer now. You may not get the answer for even 2 or 3 years as you wonder and pray about why God allowed this, that, or the other thing. But in either case, he's still on the throne, and he still loves his people in ways that we cannot, we just simply can't understand. It's a love that is higher than any human being knows. It's broader. It's stronger. It's more capable. It's a love filled with wisdom and goodness. And so when we look to him, look to his character, and pray based on the knowledge that you have of the goodness and the greatness of his character. And he'll deliver you, I promise. So let me pray real quick, and then let's take a look at what's coming. Father, we love you so intensely. There's nothing we would not do if you ask. Sometimes the things you ask are so overwhelming until we remember your nature and your character and your capacity to bring us out of the hard places and take us into the fruitful places. So we thank you that your word tells us that you will do nothing without telling your servants, the prophets. And I believe you don't have to be a prophet to hear God's plans. All you have to do is have a heart to pray, humbly hear what you have to say, and be patient. And he'll talk to anyone. You will talk to anyone because you love everyone. So help us as we share tonight, that I will be able to share clearly what's on your mind and help the listeners to hear clearly, that we might all bring you glory, honor, and might see the beauty of your dominion. We thank you for that, Lord. In your precious name, amen. I want to start something out that is not on my list, but when I was praying just now, it came to me in a vision, and I really believe he wants me to incorporate that in what I'm going to share tonight. So at the top of your page, write the words, Revelation. Revelation of the Father, the Son, and the Kingdom. If you were walking in the full revelation of the Son, you'd have the full revelation allowable in this life about the Father and about the Holy Spirit. But I have a difficult time not including all three in my prayers, so you may be like me. Spending time not in reading the word like you would a book, but reading the word to hear the message of God. As you're reading, I think you can pick out some choice thoughts. Who is this talking about? When in their life and times did it occur? Where did it happen? And what was the apparent goal? If you are studying the word in that way, asking yourself the questions, you will begin. And another thing I want to say, just briefly, I don't want to stay here. When you're trying to hear something about God, about his timetable, about what he is like, just anything about God, it's very important that you do not take the scriptures out of context. Sometimes you can turn to scriptures such as in the Psalms and in Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, where scriptures are set up in such a way that you can do that and get away with it. And whether you keep it in the context with which it was given to us, it may sound like one thing to you. And if you pull that scripture out of context because perhaps the Lord himself spoke to you about that scripture, it may say something else. But the important thing is, if you go about, and this is a very clear example. When I first got saved, the scripture that ministers all over this country were quoting was, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And they all use it in context with money. If you will give to the Lord, he'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Now, this happened in my earliest days of salvation, and often the Lord would come to me and either talk to me about the present situation, maybe future things in my own life, but mostly he would come to me and talk to me about the Word. And that's what happened when he gave me the true meaning of that passage. And he said to me, restate that passage. And so I opened my Bible and actually read it out of my Bible. And he said to me, now, where in that passage am I talking about money? I said, I don't remember that you did. Maybe I'm forgetting, but I don't remember that you did. He said, what was I talking about? So I reread the passage. Remember, I'm very young in the Lord. I reread the passage and did it two or three times. And finally I said to him, is it possible you're talking about forgiveness? He said, that's right. And that scripture being left in context, the way it was written, is going to give you its highest benefit. It's going to give you the highest revelation that I can give you in this lifetime for that passage. Because unforgiveness destroys you. You may not feel like you're falling or faltering at any given moment. My Father and I can strengthen you. The Holy Spirit can protect your endeavors, protect you in your endeavors. Many things that are good can come out of it. But if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, there is a time where you will fall, because it's like an iceberg, that you see the top, the crown of the iceberg, and it doesn't come far out of the ocean. But if you were to go down under the water and see the true size of that iceberg, it could be that 5/8 or even 6/8 of the iceberg is underwater and therefore very dangerous. He said it is the same with bitterness and unforgiveness. If you hold on to those two things, toward man or toward me, you are going to fall. And to the degree that you allow your heart to become embittered, you're going to fall harder and harder until you learn you cannot have stability with that kind of sin in your heart. It's not possible. So I want you to know that God is getting ready to do something new and wonderful in his church. He's been planning it from the foundation of the earth. And he's planned it for this day and this hour in which you live. Isn't that exciting? I mean, he could have done it 40 years ago or 50 years ago. He could have done it 70 years ahead. But he's chosen this hour and this time to reveal himself in a magnificent way in the earth. And it's with great pleasure. If you've ever heard the Lord laugh, you would never want to leave the place where he laughed, because he has the most contagious laugh I have ever heard. I love to hear him laugh. If he's smiling, his whole face becomes so radiant that you can't distinguish features. He loves to be happy over his children. He loves to bless us. He's not trying to pull us up by the nape of our neck and say, well, I haven't been able to do anything with you, so I'm not going to be able to do all that I want to do right now, but I'll just shake you out here and throw you down on the ground and let you dry out. That's not how he feels. That's not how he is. You're very important to him. And the fact that you are on this earth at this time signifies the level of importance that you play in the kingdom. So everything I'm going to say to you is going to, you can just put it on that foundation. The time for God to begin to change things in consequential ways is now. I can remember 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago saying, we're coming into a time when, like a black horse is fighting a white horse. Both are absolutely gorgeous animals. But for the sake of breeding confusion, let's just take humanity out of this and call the powers that be black and white. And if they look like horses, just like the Bible says, that there are creatures in heaven that are war horses. I've seen them. I've seen their existence, so I know they exist. Well, in this day and in this hour, we're going to see the black war horses coming up against the white war horses in hopes of taking them over. But God is going to suddenly, can you write down the word suddenly? He is going to suddenly manifest himself, give you wisdom, give you the power of prayer that we need to bring that war to a quick end. And righteousness, or the white horses, will be on the top, not the black. Satan knows this. He's known it for a good many, many years. He's hating it. He's thinking, what in the world can I do to stop what is about to happen? And, you know, he's probably beating up his devils and so on and trying to get wisdom out of those little guys. I mean, you never know who he's disciplining for not being able to win against God. But though he try, he's not going to win. Whenever God is getting ready to give birth to something particularly that is brand new, or if he is in the process, like he is right now, of doing it, there is going to be great warfare. It's not going to last long, but it will push the whole church into prayer. And as that happens, what God wants to bring forth will come forth. It's like a mother in labor, and she has labor pains. Then toward the end, she has three or four birth pains that are so painful, so very painful. All she wants to do is scream. And it's like that in spiritual warfare. When you finally get to the point that you think you're never going to be able to overcome in this situation, keep this in mind, that you have now reached the precipice of possibility. Just another couple steps and you'll win. That's what it's going to be like. The enemy is, and this is number two, the enemy is fighting for war because he wants America, he wants the world in World War III. And he does, because he can make great strides in his own kingdom when all that innocent blood is being shed. So that's what he wants. And we need to, as the intercessors, begin to pray right now that the powers of darkness and war be bound, and that peace will reign in the earth. Even if there has to be skirmishes, perhaps that will have to be. But we're not looking for a huge World War III at this point. The Lord told me that if we did the work of the gatherings, that did everything we needed to do so that he can bring about his will, we will see revival before war comes. If we don't, we won't. So when people ask me, so are we at the very end, where everything is just going to go into, you know, the kingdom of revelations, the kingdom of Satan? And I tell them, no, we most certainly are not at that place. And the next question is always, well, where are we then? I said, well, just let me put it like this. When we are at the very end, we are going to be face to face with a horrific war. The Bible tells us that. The Bible gives us many things to look at when we consider how close we are to the end. And so until God gets everything done that he wants to get done for our sake, he will hold off a major war. But for now, Trump has been working to set up military tribunals like they did for the Nuremberg chaos. He showed me last night this international courtroom, and there were people from nations all over the world sitting up at the, like the benches, the judge's bench, if you will. I wouldn't know what else to call it. And decisions were being made that was going to make living in this world a little better place. The military, I don't care who says differently, God's intent, if the church will pray, is to bring about military tribunals and the fruit of their purpose. I feel with all my heart that the level of revival and reformation that we're coming into will be dependent on that very thing. So please be praying that God will in fact bring forth those military tribunals, that the guilty will be dealt with, and that the Lord will cleanse the land of the shedding of innocent blood. Are you ready? Okay, so the next item I'm going to address is something that really shocked me. I wasn't disappointed, I was just shocked. And that is, I saw a vision of a man's hand, and in the palm of his hand was a very large paperclip. I looked at that, and I said to the Lord, why are you showing this to me? And he said, think. And the next thought that came to me was the paperclip movement that we entered into so many years ago, right after World War II. And so then I immediately understood he needs us to repent of the sins of that whole crippling situation. We need to repent of the sins of bringing some of the world's worst characters to free nations, including our own. And for treating them, I mean, many of those men died millionaires because of their work for America when they should have been put in prison. So every time we did that, our hands became filled with the blood of the innocent from these scientists' behavior. Now, whether or not you can do that tonight, maybe tomorrow night, but I'm asking that you take quality time to pray and intercede for God's forgiveness over everything covered in paperclip. That also includes the MK Ultra. I have no idea. I've never found ongoing statistics on the MKUltra. In fact, these days they want to make you believe that that is not part of the CIA mandate or their operation, but it is. It continues to this day. And if any of you have studied about mind control or the MK Ultra program, you know that these children go through horrific things. Some children don't survive the preparation process, but if they do, they will have usually multiple personalities, because that is what they're trying to produce in these children. We need to repent of that for allowing it in this country. And, you know, someone might say, I didn't even know that that was happening. How could I know that we needed to pray over it? I think that there's enough information and websites that talk about these kinds of things that it would be very difficult for people to stay ignorant. But if you've never researched it, I don't want to take the time here tonight, but please research it so you know how to pray. He said to me, you are now entering the danger zone. We are going to go through hard times, very pressing hard times. I just don't feel like we're going to go through that right now. I feel like preparations are still being made to help the nation through this. And I feel like we have to get some work done on these military tribunals for them to give us the fruit that we want out of the military tribunal. Some people are just so tickled at the fact that some of those named may actually have to pay for their crimes. My feelings about it are, it's very difficult to tell your children that our government is so good when it is approving evil and stepping aside for goodness. People who have done the great sins that these people have accomplished need discipline for their own sakes, as well as the sakes of our children, of our young adults. I think everyone needs to see it. It isn't a double standard. It's one standard. You break the law, you pay the price. And I also think that many of the people who are involved with the Illuminati will come out of that organization when they see there's no guarantee or cover-up for doing evil. That if they go on a mission they've been asked to do, that the chances are going to be they're going to pay a price for it. And maybe they'll think twice. But this danger zone that we're coming up to is what I talked about earlier, and that is dark against light, where the enemy is trying so hard to create a civil war. The only one that's going to be able to help us is the Lord. I think many African Americans are fleeing the darkness and coming to the light and realizing that that's where they belonged all along, Every time I see a new face, I hear a new testimony, I just start crying. Because, you know, we've worked long and hard to see happen what is happening right now for people who have lived in and through more difficulty than the previous generation. We don't have to look at anything negatively. We really can look at it as if to say, this was simply something I needed to overcome. And if the cross that I carry happens to be concerning this issue, I just need to take it. I need to overcome in it, like the Bible tells us to do. Instead of getting angry and feeling persecuted, when that may not be in the other person's heart at all, just go to the throne. Tell the Lord, thank you for the suffering. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the beauty of joy in exchange for our act, for our ashes. Things such as that, and the more you pray, you will begin to see your heart opening up and becoming more vibrant, stronger. And that's the way God needs us, because let me tell you what the next point is. When we get involved in this, you might say, concert of little wars, civil-type wars, provocateurs will go out wherever there is a need for them to be, like fruit flies delving into the fruit. So we need to pray that God will make these people ineffective. That regardless of what they feel needs to happen, what they may want to happen, that God will give them peace for doing it another way, where they themselves will not get hurt. They won't hurt someone else. If they have children, that their children will suffer the loss of one of their parents, etc., etc. Just pray that God will bring about his desired results without the intense suffering for the innocent. And you can please start praying that right away. We need to pray for Venezuela. I think that probably all of you are aware of what's going on down there. I don't know how much our government is responsible for. I know that workers connected with our government, maybe CIA or some other intelligence agency, put this man into office. But God can remove him as quickly as he was put into office and give that nation a leader that will care for them and help them come back to stability. But now, in the midst, that they will give their hearts to Christ of a truth. That's also necessary for Africa. Then I had a vision of the Vatican. There's a lot of gold walls in the Vatican, and in the vision, the gold on the walls and every place else they have it was just twinkling. and I saw a scepter, and it was solid gold, very powerful. And a voice spoke to me, saying, the golden scepter is being removed for the sake of him who is glorious in holiness, and for the sake of the ignorant and the erring. Keep praying that the whole system be brought down. Okay, I think this is going to be the last one I'm going to tell you about. The Lord is going to come back around. There's a whole, you might say, a whole slew of people who were really called to great ministry in these last days. But I saw in the process of this interaction with the Lord, I saw that many of these people have made the mistake of not really taking care of their issues, the issues that can destroy a powerful ministry. And because of that, they never will be able to fulfill what God created them for. But he needs their help in the earth. So he's going to swing back around to these people, and he's going to give to them a ministry based on where they walk with him presently. If they change and prepare themselves for higher ministry, of course, they will fulfill what they're called to do. But if they don't, they won't. So please pray for the leaders that fit into that category, because his heart was, it was painful to him to have to come to the reality that these leaders had so much opportunity through much suffering, mind you, so much opportunity to touch something grand for which they were created. And yet he's not going to be able to do that for them or through them because they didn't prepare themselves. How did they need to prepare themselves? Repent for the sins of the soul, the sins of the flesh, the sins of omission. Prepare through repentance. And also intercession, not only for others, but for yourself. After they come out of the prayer closet, they need to involve themselves in opportunities to let the Lord take the root of that sin out of their heart in gladness. So please pray for these leaders that very thing will happen. I don't know. He didn't tell me what he was going to do to make up for the loss on the first line of defense. I don't know what he's going to do. Will he anoint those who did make it to higher places? Or will he have to, in some cases, transfer mantle that was designed for one, lost to that one, and given to the other? It always breaks his heart when he has to do that. So please pray. Pray for these people who are not understanding the difficulties they're going through in this life. The thing about ministry is you have lots and lots of opportunity to gain a good heart. But some people allow their hearts to get so hard during difficult times that God can't do anything with their hearts. And they can lose their entire calling. So pray for the leaders that nothing like this happens, that he will be able to go in and bring up every person to either their best for that which they were created, or to fill the spot that someone else left undone. Please pray for that. And on the other side of that, we have David's mighty men, and they are about to be released. I've talked on the mighty men of David for years and years. I've written about them in my book, Melchizedek. For years and years, the first time I really remember God dealing with me about this army, the angel of the Lord came. He stood by my bed for 3 days and three nights while I prayed and studied the Word, and he directed my study so that I could understand what these people would be about. Now, after all these years, we're right about there. We're already on the threshold. We're just waiting for him to push the button. Pray for Trump. God is going to carry him through to victory. Pray for President Trump. Pray for Melania. It amazes me how hard Satan is trying to destroy President Trump and everyone he loves. And I'm also equally as quizzical about how people can allow themselves to be used. Whatever they're being given for it, the price that would be paid if God did not cover and protect Trump and his family, his administration, and so on. If God didn't step in the gap, there would be no Trump. There would be no family. So please keep your prayer guard up over him every day, and his family, and his administration, and those in his administration that are going through very difficult times, like Kellyanne Way. Just pray for them. And when we get to the top of the mart on this, and we begin to see what God is going to do in and through this nation because of the hardships that it has taken for the Trump administration to prepare America for God's glory, and the intercessors that pray to protect this nation for God's glory. If you could see, and when you do see, you're going to be so thankful that you stayed true. I think that's where we are. I do want to say one more thing, and that is, it's time. This is the season. We haven't seen all the light that is going to come through the door that's been opened, but we have seen the door open. And the more the door opens, the greater the light will flood in through it. And we don't have much longer to wait to see all the glory that God wants us to see. And you will be thankful that Trump held back and tried to run things in a course that would be most productive, even if that put us in the dark for a while. Because when the things are done that he is waiting to do, we're going to experience such a freedom in this nation. None of us have ever experienced it. It'll be unlike anything we've ever known. So get the world out of your heart. Get Christ flooding your heart. Love our God. Love our brethren. And love the lost. Please pray for America, Venezuela, Canada. Canada is about ready to lose its sovereignty to socialism in a most extreme way. That will ultimately lead to communism unless we pray. And Nigeria. Please pray specifically for these areas because the enemy is fighting very hard, and yet God has a plan. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was powerful, Nita. Thank you so much. Are you able to lead us in a little prayer to get started?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Father, I can only say that we are utterly overwhelmed by your holiness, your purity, your kindness, your mercy. You've called us to be like you. We're not like you when we cannot love and forgive. When we're going around pointing the finger at anyone in our lives, or maybe everyone. But it takes your grace, Lord, to make us into your image. We want it, but we need you, your strength, your grace, your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding to get us through to the high ground. And Father, for your glory, we ask for that. We ask you to do that for us so we can work with you to get the ugly me and the beautiful Christ exchanged. We thank you for the plans and purposes that you've set up for America. I still, after all these years, am undone. I remember one time being in a service. I was going to be teaching the word, and so I and several of my minister friends were sitting on the front row when suddenly Abraham Lincoln appeared. I was shocked when I felt confident enough that I could do it. I asked him why he had come to be with us. And he said, because I love America. I love America. He said, you know, the true reason that I made the challenge for the presidency was because I really believed I could help America be better than what it had been. Although preaching and teaching is important, What America needs more is prayer. The Father wanted you to know that. So he allowed me to come here and deliver this message. He smiled and he was gone. And I thank you for letting me see him, Lord. I thank you for letting me see that liquid love in his eyes. We know how important the word is, Lord. We know how important it is. We love it because you put that love in our hearts. But the call to the intercessor is so good, it's so great, it's so vast, so important, so critical today that we want to be your intercessors, not only to bring you glory, but to give you peace of mind, that your spirit has the freedom in this nation that it needs. We thank you for the people that you've put in prominent places and in powerful places, that your spirit will move, your spirit will reach out to them and help them to help us. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to this nation in the last 20 years. God has been so wonderful. So very wonderful. You're so good. Your word says that you wait and you look to be good to us. And we certainly see it. We thank you for the day that the horn of plenty is going to be poured out on your church. And we're going to be stunned. Stunned right into glory. Thank you that you don't leave us and that you always forgive us. That your word promises that you will heal us of shame and reproach. And that the storms we do, that we endure in this life, every single one is redemptive, large, small, and in between, if we will just turn to you and learn love. Above all, help us to learn love. I thank you for anointing everyone that is on this line. Let them have a new anointing as they pour their hearts out before you tonight. And a new revelation that will make their hearts glad. Lord, thank you for the light. Thank you for the light. We are spiritual beings, no longer tossed to and fro, but our chins are set like flint to prevail and to give you your heart's desire, Lord. I break the darkness. Break the darkness over these people. I break the darkness in Jesus' name. I call you to come into the light and be strengthened. Be beautified by his grace and glory. I come against these slugs of darkness that the enemy is trying to put in your life. And we say in Christ's name, you cannot prevail. I call your mind and your spirit to rise above and walk in love for Christ and love for humanity. and choose this one thing. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither do we want our hearts to be disturbed about anything. For our lives are locked in you, and you're greater than all things. But you do allow the coals to burn. It creates a vessel meet for the Master's use. So I commit every soul on this phone to you, Lord. Let them see your face. Let them be held by the arms of your glory. Let them see your beautiful eyes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. He just came in here. He was dressed in a white gown with a tallit and a prayer cap over his head and shoulders. And he turned his face toward heaven, looking at the Father as I was praying. And then he said, "Am I not the great intercessor? Am I not the one who ever lives to pray for my church?" There is yet a greater grace, a greater glory than any have seen. And I will pour that out to the peoples of the earth, because you people have been faithful to the call. My Father loves you as he loves me. I am in him, he is in me. And our decree is to bless you. So as you lay your head upon your pillow tonight, let my spirit bless you. He also said, "Tell them, I am the great I am. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am here for every occasion and every need. I am."